So, this week we have two sedes, Nitzavim and Vayelech. So, Nitzavim begins, this is Moshe speaking, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem Lifnei Hashem Lekechem, you're all standing today before God, Rosheichem, your leaders, Shivteichem, your tribal chiefs, Zikneichem, your elders, v'shoytreichem, the police, the law enforcers, Kol Yisrael, every Jewish man, Tapchem, your children, Nasheichem, your wives, v'gerachash, v'kerem achnecho, and the gerim, strangers, the proselytes who are inside your camp, mechoyte v'itzecho, from the woodchoppers, atshoev meimecho, and to the water carriers, to the water drawers. La'avricho bevris. In order to have you pass through the covenant of Hashem Elokecha, of the Lord your God, of Bo'olosoi and his oath, Hashem Elokecha koyrisim chayim, which God is cutting the covenant with you today, or setting the covenant with you. The word la'avricho, la'avricho bevris, it's hard to get into English the subtlety of the choice of word. La'avrecho bevris, Rashi says, it's easiest to translate it, to pass you through the covenant. But then, if that was the word, then it would have la'avircho, that God is going to make you go through the covenant. But it's not, it's la'avrecho. You have to go through the covenant yourself, says Moshe. Lihiyoischo oiver. So, what is a covenant? Rashi brings, why does it use the expression of passing through the covenant? Because in ancient times, people would take something that had been alive, an animal or something, or a bird, and split it into two, and then the people who are making the covenant would pass between the pieces, which, according to the Ishbitzer, suggests that while the physical can be split into different parts and can be, divided into two, even a single animal can be chopped down the middle and turned into two parts, but the essential animal, the spirit of the animal, the life force, is just one. You can't split it. And so when people make a covenant, they're saying, while we may be physically two split individuals, but spiritually we are just one and indivisible. That's when humans make a covenant with one another. But what does it mean when God makes covenant? We were learning in Sefer Yetzirah, in the second Mishnah, that there is a covenant that passes through all the 10 sephiroth, five on one side and five on the other side. Here in this sedra, we have five corresponding to five. We have your leaders, your tribal chiefs, your elders, your law enforcements, every Jewish person, that's on one side, that's five. And then your children, your wives, the stranger, the woodchopper, and the water carrier, that's another five. The Aseres Hadibros, the Ten Commandments, are also five, opposite five. On one side you have Anochi, I'm God. Lo Yilecho, you shouldn't have other gods. Lo Yisiso, don't swear God's name falsely. And Shabbos, Kabbalah. So remember Shabbos and honor your parents. And then on the other side, there's five. Leitirtzach, don't murder. Leitinov, don't commit adultery. Leisignoiv, don't kidnap. Leisiso, Leisana bereachoid shoker, and don't bear false witness. And Leisachmoid, don't covet what belongs to your neighbor. There are also five opposite five. In the Aseres Hadibros, in the Ten Commandments, The five opposite five means really when God spoke the commandment Anoichi, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. It wasn't possible, it wasn't humanly possible at that moment for anybody to take another person's life, because the revelation of the divine was so powerful that it would be inconceivable. It'd be like my hand chopping off my foot. You know, I mean, there was no logical reason why I would do that to myself. And in the same way, there'd be no logical reason that I would do that to myself in terms of hurting somebody else. Because with that revelation of Anoichi, then it was so obvious that we were all one. It's only when the light was taken away, the revelation of Anoichi came to an end, and God, so to speak, withdrew his voice, that at that moment it became necessary to have the love, to have the prohibition against murder. So long as Anoichi was shining in its full brightness, there wasn't any necessity for the so the five opposite the five. When God said you should have no other gods, it was inconceivable at that moment that somebody would go and intrude into somebody else's intimacy, or that somebody would have his eyes and his speech or whatever it is with somebody else that is inappropriate. Because the inappropriate, ultimate inappropriateness, it's lo yeh lechol im acherim, they should have no other gods. So wherever we find the five opposite the five, there's an idea of going from Torah shebichsav to Torah shebal peh, the idea of going from the oral Torah, from the written Torah to the oral Torah. So like if there's a revelation of V'yahavtu l'reacha k'moicha, and if there's a revelation of you should love your neighbor as yourself, there doesn't need to be the prohibition of Leisisne Sachicha Bilvovecha, don't hold a resentment against your brother in your heart. The revelation of God obviates the need for the prohibitions. So there's a withdrawal of the revelation. At that moment where there's a withdrawal of the revelation, where the light gets cut off, so to speak, at that moment it's a big moment of danger. At that moment a person has to have shmirah. So Atem Nitzovim, the Medrash says, you're all standing. Why are we all standing? It doesn't say in the Torah that Moshe told everybody to stand. It just says, Moshe says, Atem Nitzovim Hayem Kulchem, you're all standing today. What does it mean? When Yaakov has his dream, he's lying down, he falls asleep, right? And then it says, "Vayachloim," and he dreamt. "Vehine sulam mutzav arza." There's a ladder standing on the ground. "Veroshay magia hashemaimo," and the top of the ladder touches heaven, reaches heaven. And there's angels of God going up and down in it. And God is standing. So You could say, you could read it that God is standing on the ladder, right? But you could also read it that God is standing on Yaakov, Nitzav Olav. You could read it really that it's Yaakov who is the ladder. That's the real big meaning. Right? Yaakov dreams, Vihine Sulam, he's the ladder. And God is standing on him. Vayomar ani Hashem lekei Avram avicha, I am the God of your father Avram and father of Yitzchak. There it uses the word Nitzav. We find again Nitzav standing where Moshe says to the Yidden, Hisyatzvu uru'u Yeshua Hashem, stand here and see the salvation of God when it was the Egyptians were coming at us and it was just before the splitting of the sea. There was a moment where we were passing out of one state into another state, right? Everywhere in heaven, all the angels were saying, Halalu Avdei Avodah Zarah. What's the difference between the Egyptians and these Hebrews? There's no difference. They're the pagans and they're pagans. Why are you about to turn the whole world upside down to save? And that's at that moment, there's a big change. Moshe says, Hisyatsu, stand. You have to be upstanding now. You have to all be standing together. And then there's a revelation of Atik Kedisha. Right? There's a revelation of the Holy Ancient One, meaning the what arose in the thought before the creation of the world, the Jewish people, right? And then, because it's a revelation, and it's we're not really at that level, so we have to go through 7 times 7, the 49 days, till we get to Sinai. And Sinai says, Vayitzyatzu b'sachat yisahoy. It's again, there's the same expression of, we're standing underneath the mountain, Vayitzyatzu. So, again, first time Moshe says, Hisyatzvu, you've got to stand up. And then the Torah tells us, and Vayisyatzvu, and they were made to stand, really, underneath the mountain. Because again, you know, there we were changing. We were going through the big change, which is to become the clay kibble, to become the vessel that can hold the Torah. And then, of course, because we're not really there yet, so then we have to go through 40 years, going through the 42 different journeys. To go through that process to become. Now, Moshe is saying, Atem Nitzovim, you're standing. And the Medrash says, why? What's going on here? It's because Shenishtamshu Mereshus L'Reshus. They're going from one domain to another. Mereshus Moshe L'Reshus Yehoshua. The Jewish people are passing out of this place that they were, and they're going to a new place. They were in the stewardship of Moshe, and now they're passing into the stewardship of Yehoshua. It's a completely different. It's a completely different light. So there's going to be a withdrawal of the light of Moshe. In this moment that there's a withdrawal of the light of Moshe, just as it was at the time when we came out of Egypt, and just as we were standing underneath the mountain, it's a time of great danger. It's a time of tremendous potential for loss. Why? Because, you see, so long as there's a sichsuch, so long as there's a business going on, so long as trading is happening, it's like, you know, in a market, right? Doesn't matter, so long as the game, if you're in a betting game in Las Vegas, so long as the game is going on, there's a chance for loss, but then that loss can be turned into a gain. Once the game is over, whatever you lose, you can't win back. Right? So long as there's a revelation of the light, and we are involved in a process with it, then it doesn't matter if I lose for a moment, because that losing may just turn out to be a win. But when trading is over and there are no more deals to be done, then if I drop something, I'm not going to be able to pick it up again. So what happens when we all stand together? Then there can be no kitrik. Nobody can say, "Ah, the Eden are no good." Yeah, what do you mean the Yid not good? Well, they don't keep Shabbos. Here, look at this Yid here. Never broke Shabbos in his life. Well, you know, Pesach, they don't. Look at this Yid. His whole life he spends preparing for Pesach. Well, you know, the Lashon Hara. Look, here the Zayid never spoke Lashon Hara. So we can all recover for each other. So the moment of danger and the moment where everybody's looking at us and trying to, you know, see through and see an imperfection, we all stand together, we cover for each other. There's no imperfection. And the same thing in the self. When I'm going through changes, things are happening. I'm leaving one stewardship and entering another, changing domains. Person has to gather all his stuff together, assemble his life in such a way that he can, you know, lay his hands on all the various facets and not to be scattered, because even every individual in their own life, you know, there's somebody can say, well, you know, this area of your life wasn't very well. So then it comes another area of my life, says, what are you talking about? You say he was slovenly? Yeah, look how orderly this part of his life is. Oh, well, you know, he was careless. How can you say he was careless? Look, he was careless over there. Yeah, but look over here in his relationships, see how careful he was. So the Ishbitzer says that in our own life, we have to take this metaphor of Atam Nitzavim. So the Radzina says, what does it mean? La'avrecha bevris. What does it mean when we're passing through a covenant with God? With the human being, we said what it means is that we're trying to establish that spiritually we're connected, we're one. So he says, we were learning in Sefer Yetzirah how there's a covenant that flows right from the top of the spheres all the way to the bottom. So he says, what does it mean? Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim, vayiyodam lenefesh chayim. God blows into the nostrils of Adam the breath of life, and Adam becomes a living creature. Everybody knows the Targum. The Aramaic says, L'ruach memalalo. He becomes a speaking creature. The Zohar Kodesh says, the reason that God breathes into us and we become this speaking creature is because we are the only creature that can speak to God and have a conversation, so to speak, with God, which other creatures can't do. So the Radzina says, what does it mean that we can have a conversation with God? He says, well, a person can daven. A person can pray. So what if I pray? Well, I have the power to change everything with my prayers. And how could that be? How could I change God's mind? That's a ridiculous notion. So the Radzina says, Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim, when God blows into Adam the breath of life, really what he's blowing into Adam is his desire. God breathes his own desire into Adam. That desire contains everything that God wants. When I speak, if I daven and I pray for something, for refuah shleima, then really all I'm doing is expressing God's desire that was so far away from the source. Nevertheless, that was the desire that God breathed in to Adam that has come down as a breath all the way to me. In that original breath that God breathes into Adam, He breathes every prayer, every desire. So it's not like my davening is changing God's mind. That is the original desire. However, God didn't keep that desire in heaven, so to speak. He breathed it out into the world and said, Nagai, go, take 5,000 years and then come back to me. And how will you come back? How will this desire of mine manifest as God? It will manifest as this person breathing a prayer. This is the meaning of bris, says the Radzina. Covenant between God and human is this flow of divine desire. Where God says, really, it's just one. It's one desire. There may be a you and an I and a thou, but really, the rotzoin that's flowing, it's just one rotzoin. There's a Radzina Torah of this week, and he talks about the three nitzovims. You know how the Jewish people have passed down this long line. You know, we get Yaakov, who is Elikim Nitzov Olav, Hashem Nitzov Olav. God is standing over him, meaning at that moment God is saying to Yaakov in the dream, you are changing now. This is the moment where you pass from here, you pass to there. What is the big change? Yaakov becomes Sholem, Yaakov becomes whole. When he leaves Yitzhak and he goes on the road to Lavan, at that moment in that dream, that night, Yaakov becomes whole. And because it's a dangerous moment, so God says, I'm standing over you to guard you. The Jewish people are told to stand at the moment that we leave Egypt and we leave that land of paganism, and we are determined not to be those pagans, and then we stand again to become the vessel to receive the Torah. And now at the end of the journey, we're standing again. God is telling us, you are standing. Atem nitzovim hayom kulchem. So the Radzina says, so Moshe, he brings the Tanchuma, Mipnei ma osan Moshe matzeva. Why does Moshe stand them up? Mipnei shemishtam shemidas l'das. They're going from das to das. Midas Moshe, das Yehoshua. So he says, if I could imagine what it means to be this at this moment of perfection, like we were at this moment when we're standing, and this is the day Moshe's about to die. Right? The second Seder is Vayelech Moshe. Moshe goes. Never in the Torah do we find that Moshe goes to call them. He didn't even call them. He goes to them and he says, I'm 120 years old today and I can't come and go anymore. So The Radzima says, if I could imagine what it means to be in that moment of change, where I feel I'm passing from one life into another life, I'm passing from one rishus, from one domain into another, I'm passing from one knowledge to another knowledge. And he brings the pasuk, Zakoyis l'roishi b'yom neshek. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, cover my head like a sukkah on the day of neshek. And the Gemara says, what does it mean, neshek? Doesn't mean weapons. Doesn't mean cover me on the day of war, but rather cover me when, on the day when summer kisses the winter, when the seasons are just changing. So, when the world to come is kissing this world, because in that moment, he says, I could lose everything. I could drop something and not be able to pick it up because I'm not going to be able to go back again. And then the Radzina says, we've often learned the Ishbitz Torah that Ein Adam Oymed Al Divrei Torah La'erun Kem Nichsha Behem. A person can never really grasp the meaning of Torah until he stumbles. So the Radzina spends a page and a half discussing this. I wish I could encapsulate it. He says, what does it mean if I do something wrong and then I understand what I've done? If I make a mistake, I do a sin, a bad thing, and then at some point I realize what I did. What is it that I'm really realizing? I'm really realizing how deep God's glory goes. One of the things that he said is that kavod, when we talk about the glory, malei chol ha'aretz kvodo, kavod and ratzon are interchangeable words. Right? So when we talk about the glory of God, or we talk about God's desire, it's the same thing. If I do a sin, if I do a bad thing, I hurt somebody, Khalila, stole something, killed somebody, and then at some point in my life I realize what I've done, what I'm really realizing is that God's glory was even there, because what am I? My life is God's glory. My neshama. Like the Zohar Kodesh says, every night brings the medrash, the Ishbitz often brings the medrash that every night the neshama goes up and says, God, you know, please, don't send me down there another day. And then God shows the neshama that the whole world is full of molecholas kvoidoi, the whole world is full of his glory. So the neshama says, all right, let me go down there and see if I can find it, uncover it, right? If I did something really bad and then at some point I realize what I did, what I'm really realizing is how deep God goes. Because to realize, to have a moral awakening, to have charoto, to do teshuva, really means that I've brought the Torah into this place. Right? So if somebody does a really, really dirty thing, and then he does teshuvah, then he brings the Torah into that dirty thing. He reveals God, God's word, even in that darkest place. So even when he was stealing this money from this Nebuch child, orphan, and the orphan was starving, and I mean, just think of the worst things that a person could do, right? Then he does teshuvah, and then he realizes that even there, in the cries of that person who was being victimized, there's a Torah there. There's an awareness there. Even at that moment, I was alive. I was breathing, My neshama was there. There's something to be learned from that. Look, Hashi, see how people hurt. See what you learn from such a thing, right? So what happens? He says, I couldn't know how far God can go unless I did this aveiro, unless I did this sin. And it doesn't matter what the sin is, but it's true. Every sin that a person does, this same thing is true. At that moment that he does teshuvah, the person is realizing how far God will allow himself to go into that, ochein ato keil mistata, you are the God who hides. So if a person goes into that and realizes how deep that God is in that hiding place, well then God is not hidden anymore. But I couldn't know that unless I did the avera. So he's saying that's the meaning of, so long as there's a chance to fix things, so long as there's a chance to recover, so long as the dealer is still dealing the cards or the market is still trading, then it doesn't matter how deep the sin is, there's always still a possibility of going down into the teshuva and realizing where God's glory is, and then taking that Torah and it becomes this whole Torah of Ein Odam Oimed al Divrei Torah Elam Kein Nechshol Behem. A person can't really get at the Torah until you've stumbled. The Radzin is saying it's really literally what he's saying, because that Torah, that revelation of God who was in that dark place, could not have come about without that sin, because that sin is what made it happen. It's not like a person who doesn't realize what stealing is until he steals a little. That's not the meaning of that Gemara. In Adam Oymed al Divri Torah, you don't, the Torah doesn't really happen until it goes into that dark place. He says that's the meaning of when a person does teshuva, his sins become zochias, become virtues, right? Become pluses. Why? Because when a person does teshuva, then it becomes obvious that God was in that place. So there's a new revelation of the divine. There's a new Torah has come into the world. There's a new spiritual path. And I believe the Rishonim used to say that, you know, the Gemara says, "Ein Adam Noikefer Spoil Milmata and Kemachizim Olam Milmala." Nobody even knocks a finger in this world unless there's a voice that goes out in heaven that says somebody is going to knock his finger. So, what happens before somebody does a sin? How could they ignore it? Can't be. If nothing happens in this world unless there's an announcement in the other world, so what happens before there's a sin? So I think it was the Rishon who said that there's an announcement that goes out in heaven and says, oh, such and such a person is just about to invent a new way of doing teshuvah. So the sin itself is the new way of doing teshuvah, because there's going to be a new revelation. Therefore, Zedoyna is Nasis Kezochias. So when the Sedra says, Atem Nitzovim Hayim Kulchem, you're all standing today in front of God, La'avrucha Bevris, you have to pass through the covenant. It's not enough, God says, until now, I've been passing through the covenant. I have been breathing into you. In doing so, I've been breathing my glory into you. I've been breathing my desire into you. And that desire is manifest in your davening. But now, says God, at this moment, when you're passing out of the hands of Moshe, and you're passing out of the Anane HaKovid, and now you're going into the land to actually physically work the land, and where all your mitzvahs become mitzvahs, ma'asya is physical doings and actions. God says, I need you to pass through the covenant and do unto me what I did to you. You have to breathe into me, says God. You have to breathe from your deepest place into me, which means you have to reveal who you really, really are.